And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. A big shout-out to Denise. Denise, you were the fourth caller. You are the winner of two sandwiches and two salads from Urbane Cafe. We'll get that certificate to you in the mail right away. Thank you for being a loyal listener, and congratulations on winning. And to those of you who didn't win, don't worry. We'll have other giveaways that we'll be using during the rest of the week as well, so there'll be more chances to win. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is caution and precaution. Each of my guests is explaining why we should be cautious and take precautions in his or her subject. My next guest is a licensed financial planner, an author, and CEO of Apex Behavioral Solutions Group and Apex Behavioral Financial Group. He'll share his perception for money sanity from his book, Money Makes Me Crazy. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. Ted McLyman is the CEO of Apex Behavioral Solutions Group and Apex Behavioral Financial Group. He's a fully licensed financial advisor and an author. Prior to forming the company, he was a district manager for two major financial planning firms. Ted is a retired lieutenant colonel in the United States Marine Corps, where he served in various command and staff positions, including aide to the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for financial management. The foundational concept of Apex Behavioral is that individuals have specific and unique temperaments and influences all our decision-making. In order to make better choices, people need to know and understand their particular temperaments. Ted's education includes a Bachelor of Arts from Colgate University, a Master's of Science from Boise State University, and a Master of Arts from our own local Pepperdine University. Ted is a triathlete, although he professes to be both old and slow. Welcome to the show, Ted. How are you today?
It's a pleasure.
Hey, thanks for being our guest. And also, thank you for your service to the country as a Marine, for all those years of service. On behalf of my listeners, thank you for that as well.
Well, I appreciate it. And for the folks that are still out there, it means a great deal when people say that.
Good. Well, now, everybody says this time it's different. And certainly your book is in that same category. Your basic premise is when it comes to money and money management and how people interact with money, this time it's different. So what makes your book different? How have the rules changed?
Well, we're different in the sense, well, let me regroup. This time really isn't different. I can go back to the 17th century and look at buying tulips, self-see, buying real estate. Mark Twain lost a fortune. Isaac Newton lost a fortune in these speculative bubbles. And really what it comes down to is we as humans just are not hardwired to work well with money.
Well, now, why is that? Because, I mean, the skills that made us survivors on the savannah in Africa probably don't really do a great job for us in the Thousand Oaks Mall here in Thousand Oaks.
There you go. Yeah, the behavior that kept us alive in the forest is killing us at the mall. And all you've got to do is go to the mall, watch the things that are going on TV. But think about it for a second. Let's put it in perspective. From a biological point of view, our brains are about 100,000 years old. And 50, 60,000 years ago, when we had to get up in the morning and count heads to make sure everybody made it through the night, and I picked up my spear and I go to work. I'd kill something, drag it back, and that was it. And our brains and our survival mode is really just like that. Staying alive, and if I stay alive long enough, I get to pass on the genes. Unfortunately, modern society and the modern economy is ellipsis. And we have trouble. We go to the mall, our heads blow up. We listen to 24/7 squawk radio and the folks that are telling us what to do, our heads blow up. So the premise really what I'm coming from is there are four things that really get us into trouble right now in this economy. It's our biology, and I just described that. The second's our belief system, what we believe about money. And most of our beliefs are established by the time we're about 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the rub. What we believe is true, the common wisdom of money, might be correct, but it may not be appropriate for you as an individual. And nobody ever talks about that. We have this one-size-fits-all mentality, and I think that's a little perverse, if you will, to think that what works for Warren Buffett is going to work for you.
All right, Ted, but that brings us to the very real question of can you change your money beliefs?
What I'm thinking, and again, this is where I think we're a bit different. I'm not so sure that changing is the operative word. I think it's identify.
Okay.
We're all different. We're all unique. The mantra from the financial services industry is my stuff is better than your stuff, and if you don't believe me, I can prove it with features and benefits. All you've got to do is watch TV, et cetera, et cetera. So why most people are so frustrated with money right now, I believe, is that you walk into an office and see somebody like me, and I have this pile of stuff. This pile of stuff is now a commodity, and I just want to give you some of my stuff. But the problem is you don't know if that stuff is appropriate for you. All you have to do is read a prospectus or look at some of these very complicated products out there, and again, your eyes cross. So what we're telling our clients, we've reversed the proposition. What you should do first is figure out who you are, how you process information, what your temperament is, and what your value set is. Once that's figured out, then go out and pick the products and services that support your values, not go buy something and hope it works out.
All right, so take us through that. How would you go through and identify a person's values, identify their temperament, and even gauge sort of their money knowledge? Is there some sort of a standardized testing that you give us, or is it a set of questions, or does it just come out in the course of conversation, Ted?
It's really a combination of all. I mean, we've developed some proprietary tools that we have on our website, and we also talk a little bit in the book. But fundamentally, what we want to know, number one, is your value set, your money values. What are the things that are most important to you? And if you don't accomplish these things in your life, is it going to cause some kind of angst? And we don't really care what it is. If you want to have your ashes spread at home plate at Giant Stadium, that's okay. Or if you want to go cure cancer or open a mission, the point is that's your underlying value set. And it's usually a much more in-depth, upper level type of need as opposed to just owning stuff. Once we go through that, then we want to figure out what your temperament is. And your temperament is nothing more than how you think and feel about money. And again, everybody is unique. And we find it fascinating when we sit with a couple, and usually nobody's ever asked that question.
Well, go ahead, ask me, because I mean, I'm curious about this whole idea of money temperament. It was an interesting term that you put into the book, and you've got a whole chapter devoted to it, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. Well, the neat thing about being an author, you can make up words.
There you go. So you made this one up. You baffled me. So let's go through it. What do you mean by money temperament?
Well, it's not personality, and this is something that's really, really significant. I think all your listeners, and I think you are familiar with Myers-Briggs and Gallup.
Sure.
There are about 2,000 personality assessment tools to figure out, you know, if you're an extrovert or a thinker or whatever. Well, when we got into this, we realized that we were dealing with a lot of personalities, but their personality and how they were thinking and feeling about money was not lining up. So we wanted to look at a couple of things, or to put it another way, you can be an extroverted jerk and still be risk intolerant. Okay? So we're looking at two different things, but what we're measuring really are first, what's your relationship with? Are you a thinker or feeler when it comes to money? In other words, are you the type of person that makes all your decisions emotionally, or do you sit down with the spreadsheet and work through it?
But here, Ted, is one of the rubs, because you contend that all money decisions are emotional.
Exactly. So we've got to go down deeper. And the reason we go through that discussion, because there are a lot of people out there that assume they're rational. And these are in my business are usually engineers and doctors and surgeons and professionals. They assume they're rational individuals taking very rational steps to make their money decisions, but subconsciously it's really an emotional decision. As a matter of fact, biologically, 99% of our decisions are made in our limbic system, our primitive brain. We don't even know it. But anyhow, all I really want to know is what's your propensity? Do you think you're doing this one way or the other? I want to look at risk tolerance. You're familiar with that.
Of course, yeah.
Marginality. This is a little different. I want to know if you're the type of person, we call it a maximizer or a sufficer. A maximizer is the type of person that has to squeeze every bit of performance, every last cent out of every product, every service, every encounter. A sufficer is the 85% guy. You know, in other words, if I'm sitting here and you're a maximizer and I tell you that if I put you into this product or service and on average it's an 8% rate of return, boy, I better be happy with that number, 8%.
And I really want 8.1%. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If it comes in at 7.99999, you're going to call me up.
That's right.
The sufficer, on the other hand, says, yeah, I think I own that. You see what I mean?
I do. I see the distinction between that.
The other thing is, are you a reverser or not? In other words, a reverser is the type of person that always is checking and qualifying their decision with money. So in other words, as soon as you come in and see me and I design this very exquisite program and it's perfect for you, immediately you're going to go out the door and start looking for reasons why to keep it or how to get rid of it. And you're very susceptible to the coolest, neatest, shiny thing that's out there. And you're the type of person that really exemplifies why most people do not make money in the market.
Well, my guest is Ted McLyman. And, Ted, isn't that known as buyer's remorse?
Yes.
That you suffer from buyer's remorse. I just bought this brand-new 10-year bond. The yield was 2.89%. And all of a sudden, maybe I could have gotten 2.9% if I'm one of those maximizers. And I might go around looking for a bond that yields 2.9%.
Right, exactly. So let's give you a worst-case scenario.
Okay.
You're very emotional. You're risk-averse. You're a maximizer. And, you come in and see me. I got to go, my Lord, are you the type of person I want to work with? Because I really probably not going to help you. But see, this is different than personality. Personality might be you're a great guy. You're an extrovert. You're ENTJ, something, something, something. That doesn't matter. But your behavior with money is a bit different. The other thing that's important when we look at temperament is we're not here to fix you. We're not therapists. What we want to do is identify, accept who you are without judging, but then build a strategy that supports your temperament and your value.
Well, now, isn't that a hard thing to do, Ted? Because I come in and you help me to identify what my money temperament is. That is great. But as an institution, I mean, you've got strengths and weaknesses too, and you're probably better at certain types of investments than you are other types of investments. And if I've got a temperament that falls into that other types of investment class, how would you handle a situation like that?
Boy, great question. Matter of fact, I spend a lot of time working with institutions and training financial advisors. The first thing we tell financial advisors is know yourself. The second thing we tell them is do no harm.
The doctor's greed.
One of the major challenges we have in the financial services industry, and I call it naive arrogance. We think we're smarter than we are. We think we're better than we are. And sometimes we just confuse luck and brilliance. When the markets are going up, everybody's a hero, everybody's a genius. When things are going down, not so much. So what we try to explain to the financial advisor or the professional is, if you know yourself, you're going to come to the table as objective as possible. I think what a lot of people are frustrated working with people like me is we want to impose our subconscious behaviors on you and make you just like me.
Mm.
So the trouble is that most of the guys in my industry like numbers, and we like building spreadsheets and reading prospectuses. Well, I'll tell you, most people don't.
So, that's why we hire people like you, Ted.
Yeah, exactly. So when you come to my office and I make your eyes roll back in your head and you go catatonic on me, it's probably because I'm on page 77 of a spreadsheet I built for you over the weekend, and the reality is it doesn't meet your temperament, but more importantly, it doesn't meet your money knowledge is how you process information.
All right. My guest is Ted McLyman. He's author of the book Money Makes Me Crazy, A Prescription for Money Sanity. And, Ted, let's talk about money knowledge, because this is getting more and more difficult all the time. There are new investment instruments coming out daily, literally. The explosion of EFTs, ETFs, electronically traded funds, has just really exacerbated the landscape. And, then there's shorting, and you can buy options and futures, and the list goes on and on and on. Thousands and thousands of investment opportunities. So talk to me about money knowledge. What do you mean there?
About money knowledge, we're talking about it at two levels. The first level is pretty standard. What do you know? Do you know the difference between a bond and a stock? Do you know a difference between an EFT and a mutual fund? I mean, that's basic tactical stuff. What I want to go is a little bit deeper, and I want to know how you process information. I want to know your learning style. Because if I'm going to work with you and work with you effectively, I need to be able to give you information and data that you can actually assimilate and use. So I want to know if you're a visual learner, that you like pictures, and I'm going to use the whiteboard and give you graphs and things like that. Or are you an auditory learner? Do you like to sit and listen to people? Are you a tactile person that you've got to touch it and manipulate it? Or are you a digital learner that you're really into the numbers? The problem we have in our industry is we have a bias for listening and digits. Unfortunately, most of the people are visual.
Except a radio host like myself who's auditory. There you go. But my guest is Ted McLyman. Ted, I find this is all very fascinating, and it is a very unique approach that you have, very different from other money people that are out there today. But I have to ask you the bigger question. Right at the top, you say we make all of our decisions about money emotionally. Is there an upside to our money irrationality?
Well, it keeps the consumer economy going, for sure. And when the president, whatever one you want to pick, stands up and stands on the street, and we've got to go out and buy, 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 the upside is we're able to live a normal life. And this is something that you're getting into psychology a bit, but basic economics, let's go back to basic economics, Adam Smith and the boys. I used to teach economics in the Naval Academy, and I taught traditional economics, which was, you know, we're all rational people and we use cost-benefit analysis to get to the right choice, no problem. We always optimize our decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talked to the MIDs, which are some of the smartest, most talented young people in the United States. It was great in a classroom, but once we got out of the classroom, they went nuts. They became emotional again. So they were doing all kinds of dumb things that got them into trouble with money. So we started looking at this, and what we found is, yes, you can and you sometimes have to force your decision process into the rational thinking brain, the frontal cortex. You got to sit down with a spreadsheet and run the numbers. But most of the time we're at the other place, which is emotional. And this is the humanness that makes this thing so challenging, exciting, and frustrating. We will always default to being human. The human condition is emotion. If we did not have emotions, we could not function in today's society, because emotions let us take and use what are called heuristics or rules of thumbs to make decision-making. The total rational person could not exist in today's economy. So we have to have it. The problem is, it's not a bad deal when you're running into the supermarket to get bread and milk, and you end up with $75 worth of stuff, and you forgot the bread and milk. The problem is when you go down to Santa Barbara and buy an option on a house to be constructed in 2 years under the assumption that we'll never go down in price.
Right.
and that's really what I'm getting at.
All right. My guest is Ted McLyman, author of the book Money Makes Me Crazy, A Prescription for Money Sanity. Ted, what do you want readers to take away from reading the book Money Makes Me Crazy?
Well, I think very simply it's okay. You are who you are. And it's okay to be who you are, and it's okay to be human with your money. And the frustrations and the emotions you're feeling with money are normal, natural, and the natural state. So when you turn on the talking heads, or you're reading what I call financial pornography, and that's the magazines and all that kind of stuff, don't worry about it. You're going to spend most of your time in an emotional state, existing with your environment and your family, and moving forward towards your goal. I think what you need to realize is that our brain is a wonderful instrument, but it's not perfect. It never will be perfect. And because it's not perfect, we need to realize a couple of things. Number one, that we like stories and not numbers. We're not really numbers people. Let me give you an example. If I said $1 billion, all your listeners go, okay, I know what $1 billion is. But then I say, now let's talk about $1 trillion. And they go, yeah, I know what $1 trillion is. But you don't. Think of it this way. 1 billion seconds ago, Jimmy Carter was president and the Happy Meal was introduced. 1 trillion seconds ago, you were in a loincloth with a stick roasting a mastodon over an open fire.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Ted. We're just flat out of time. My guest has been Ted McLyman, author of the book Money Makes Me Crazy. Ted, thank you so much for being our special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, thanks so much. This has been fun.
It has been a lot of fun.